This episode is brought to you by The Ultimate Girls Trip. Here is our reoccurring daydream. Us at a drool-worthy pool, surrounded by our business besties. We just finished a powerful exercise on building our dream lives and executing our business goals. Join us if you are ready to be celebrated for taking up space, to feel purposeful, and to live a life of fulfillment. Go to proofitspossible.com for more info. Welcome to Proof It's Possible. Jamie and I are multifaceted entrepreneurs, the founders of The Ultimate Girls Trip, and the hosts of Proof It's Possible. Jamie and I are also sisters, best friends, and complete opposites, but somehow we always manage to stay on the same team. Join us every week to hear our thoughts on all things entrepreneurship, friendship, family, pop culture, and more.
Hi guys, welcome back to Proof It's Possible. Today we want to chat about whether business is personal. You know that saying, like, it's not personal, business is not personal. And I agree to that sometimes, like in some aspects, I'm like, it's not personal, just do the thing and, you know, like business is business. But then I also think it's contradictory because sometimes it is personal. Businesses are built on like personal relationships and word of mouth marketing and whether they know, like, and trust you. And so to say that it's 100% not personal, I don't think is really true. What do you think?
Well, that and like, if it's not personal, why do sometimes you get a bellyache and you feel upset if things aren't going right, or you feel like you've like disappointed someone or something, you know, like if it's just business, you should be able to say, oh, well, who cares? Like, it's no big deal. This is business is business and everyone should understand that. So, and like, I work in industries that business is very personal because I'm working on someone's home as an interior mm-hmm. designer. That's the most personal space they have. And they're using something, their resources, their own personal dollars, not their business's money, not their employer's mm-hmm. money. They're using their hard-earned money.
And for most people, their house is the biggest investment they ever make in their lifetime.
Exactly. And so when things don't go perfect or really well, there's a lot of emotion for them attached to it. And mm-hmm. people pick me because they trust me. People pick me because they have heard my reputation and they've witnessed me acting in integrity. So I think business for my industry is extremely personal. And like website builds, for me, my website design business is also extremely personal because I'm almost always working with smaller businesses that are often women-led, that are often their dream coming to life. It's the first step in their dream, like taking shape and becoming part of the real world. Mm-hmm. So also super personal. And like, do I wish that there was less emotions and less like, that font is not perfect, that color it needs is slightly wrong? Of course, it would be so much easier if everybody's like, oh, blue is blue and purple is purple, you know? Mm-hmm. But the fact of it is, and like, I'm the worst for it out of anybody. If I like hire somebody to do something, I want it done in a certain level and I want it to look and feel like me and be right and, you know, all that stuff. So it is personal to me. My business decisions are all very personal. Like, I don't even know how to do business, I don't think, without it being personal.
Well, and like, I think it's a bit idyllic to say like, oh, yeah, it's not personal and we can separate the two. And so when someone like questions your work, that you don't, there isn't like that little like nudge in your belly where you're like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Are you saying like,
this is like,
you can see it clearly as like, oh, this is just like a business question and they're just asking me, and it's sure. not a personal attack.
For sure. And it's interesting because I put my work on display and it's very subjective. Like, a nice house to you versus a nice house to me are two totally different things. So if I don't know a client well before I start working with them, I do my best and I have a whole bunch of like things that I do to figure out what they're looking for, but I have to do some trial and error. So I create design plans and I show them the plan, and like, there's always changes. And that is very much an interior designer. I just had this conversation with a girlfriend yesterday that there's ego involved. And I think that being able to handle your own ego when somebody does give you pushback mm-hmm. is like the greatest skill you've got in your business, as far as like managing your emotions, managing the way you behave. Because I had to learn early on that, like, just because I think it's the nicest style doesn't mean that my client does. And that's fair. Like, they have to live in the house. I do not. And so what I realized is what my actual goal is that my client is happy. It's not that I love the house. It's that they love the house and they're happy. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have to love their website. I don't have to love their business idea. But they have to love their website and they have to be passionate about their business idea. And then I will have a happy customer, and that's all that matters.
Right. But I do think that, like, for me, ego is such a slippery slope, because I think that your ego, when it gets inflated and you're coming directly with your ego being like, nope, you've hurt my feelings and I'm better than that, or whatever, whatever your ego is telling you. You do have to keep that in check and be like cordial and polite and, you know, all of the things. But I also think, like, the opposite is true, in which your ego fully steps aside and you go into like a bit of a trauma response where you go into like people pleasing, or like, yes, sir. Yes. No problem. I can do that. Like, totally. I think that there's a healthy amount of ego that is necessary to set boundaries and stick with them. And maybe ego is not the right word. Maybe it's more like self-trust and accountability to yourself or something like that. But I think that, like, I have somebody in my life where when somebody comes like with that pit bull energy and is like, hey, you know, you needed to do X, Y, and Z, even if it's completely unreasonable, they like go into this like weird shell where they are like, okay, yeah. Sure. I can like please you and make sure, even if it's like, well, no, that wasn't our agreement. Like, you know, you're blowing my boundaries out of the water. We never agreed to any of that and all of it. And so I think that there's like a bit of a trauma response that happens if you don't have like a little bit of ego.
Oh, for sure. And like, do you know how many years I like overserved in such a way that didn't serve me or my business? And particularly my bank account, because I was like, you know what? It's easier to not, you know, fight with people. And I want everyone to say good things. And I always have to be the good person. I have to do the right thing, you know? So the minute somebody would say that, like, you're not doing the right thing because of X, Y, or Z, whether I agreed with it or not, I was like, I'm not doing the right thing. Even though it felt like the right thing for me, it just wasn't the right thing for them. So, and they say that, they say people who... The only people who will have a problem with you having boundaries is the people who want to...
Who benefited from you having none.
Yes, you not having them. So it's like, of course that person is not really interested in you doing that. And I think that that's, for me, the best like revenge, or not revenge, but the best like ground to lay was contracts. I started using contracts. And every now and then I still find myself where I'm like, yeah, I don't have a contract for that. Mm-hmm. Got to change that quick, because lessons are being learned 20 years into these careers. Lessons are always being learned, because I'm like, you know what? Just put it in writing and make everybody say that they're on board for the same deal. Because
You know what I find really interesting is
what?
There can be a contract in place, but over time, especially if it's an older contract, it evolves. And it's kind of this, like, even if you had a conversation about it, you don't get out a new contract and be like, well, we just had a new conversation, so now this is what terms look like. So for me, I've been caught in that the last little while, where it's like, well, I have a contract from 8 years ago that, 8 years ago, that was what it was. And the scope has kind of changed. COVID changed things. A bunch of things changed it. And we had conversations about it, about what the new contract would look like, but we never actually executed a new contract. And then something came up and they were like, okay, let's revert to, you know, the way it used to be. And it's like, well, you don't pay me for the way that it used to be. We verbally agreed that I don't do that anymore for you. Hence why you don't pay me for it. And so I'm not just going to step into that role but then also we don't have a contract that reflects what my new role is. Exactly. So it's interesting how we can kind of get complacent.
For sure. And like, the thing that I think, because I am by nature more of a people pleaser, and I people please in for my own peace sometimes. Like, I'm like, you know what? I don't, the large hassle for the small reward. It's not worth it to get into it in this situation. I'm just going to appease this person or do the extra thing. But then those extras, all of a sudden on the next project or on the next situation, They're like, well, no, this is part of it. And I'm like,
absolutely.
No, it was an extra. I bent my rules for you because I was being a people pleaser and I know better. And now I messed up. Like, now I really need the new contract written down so that you know this is what it looks like going forward. I am not working with you, for you, whatever, under these really unrealistic terms that I've maybe set forward. Or the opposite can be true, where you're on an old contract that worked for everybody until the day it didn't work for the other person, and they want to change it but didn't inform you properly. And it's like, mm-hmm. It can go both ways, right? Like, where you're like, what is happening here? When did we make these changes, and when did I agree to them, and why do you get to just call all the shots and I just have to sit here and be like, okay, sure, mm-hmm. That's fine, you know, mm-hmm. Especially after the work is done. That's the trouble. Oh,
okay. And this is where business
that come with, yes.
Business is personal. If you are going to make a verbal agreement, a written agreement, any kind of agreement, you allow the person to do their end of the deal, and then you want to renegotiate, fuck you. Like, yeah. I have
scum of the earth. Like, you absolutely.
Are scum of the earth. Like,
on behalf of all business owners, you're a scummy, scummy person.
Yes. If you're going to allow somebody to follow through on their end of the bargain, and then you don't want to follow through on your end of the bargain, know that you are just doing business wrong. And it is personal because you value your money, your time, your energy, but you don't value their money, their time, their energy, their business, whatever they did for you. So
exactly,
it is 100% personal. And I agree with you that, like, when the terms change in the contract, but nobody notifies, and then they come to the table and are like, well, no, I expected this, this, and this from you. There was no conversation about it. That's not what the contract reads. That also incredibly scummy. I think that if you are not, for me, business is always personal. When you aren't clear and concise on your expectations, mm-hmm. and when you don't follow through with what has been agreed to,
for sure.
Because it's personal in that you don't value the other person, and that makes it personal.
Well, and that hurts someone's feelings because they're like, so wait, I did everything I was supposed to do, and you don't feel that it was worth it, but you still got the product or the service or whatever it is. Like, it's bizarre. It's actually bizarre to me when this type of thing happens that I just don't respect that business person. I have to say, like, that is, in my opinion, that person probably won't be a business owner long, and they'll probably leave a trail of unhappy folks behind them, whether it's customers, you know, vendors they use, whatever, like, everybody in their wake is at the expense of them doing business selfishly and on their own terms. And only the people that are willing to stand up for them and have boundaries and push through their, like, uncomfortable with conflict and fighting will ever get what they deserve from people like that. Like, it's just an uncomfortable and doesn't need to be necessary, truthfully. Like, and so I definitely do think business is personal. Now, I don't know if you had more of, like, a corporate type of job. I think it's all in the, I think it has more to do with the person doing the job, whether they are an empath, whether they are a people pleaser, how much they take pride in themselves and their identity is tied to how good they do at their job. And, like, I'm somebody that my identity is very closely tied to doing a good job. It is extremely important to me. If I have promised you something, my, like, mantra is that I do what I say I'm going to do. So whatever that is, whether it's a promise to myself, whether it is a promise to a client, whether it is a promise to your kids, whether it is a promise to my family, my husband, whoever, if I said I'd do it, I do it. And if I drop the ball, of course, that's going to happen. And I apologize. And then I do it. Mm-hmm. So
I feel like this is a little bit about, like, character. Like,
it's all about character to me.
Mm-hmm. And so even if business is not personal, if somebody, like, you know, let's pretend we're in a corporate setting and someone walks in and is like, you know, barks an order and then is like, it's not personal, it's just business. Okay. I 100% agree with, like, business is business. And as an employee, you're going to be asked to do things that, like, you might not want to do, but is in the scope of your job or whatever that looks like. But it's the manner in which people speak to you that I think says a lot about your character. like, and you're talking about how the flip side of it, like how you like to do a good job, and that's important to your character. Right. So I do think that as much as business is not personal, the way we execute business, the way we ask for tasks, the way we show up every single
manage
day
teams, is everything.
Yes, is personal. That's who absolutely. You are.
It absolutely is. I mean, I don't think most people are able, because truthfully, if you're a dick at work, you're probably a dick at home, in your personal life, with your other relationships too. Like, if you can't be respectful to people in your work environment, you're probably not being respectful to the lady who helps you at the grocery store, to the waitress, to the waiter, you know, like that is who you are. So it is tied to your person, to your personality, to your character. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think that, and like for me, that's like a step in digging into who am I and what does matter to me and why do I do the things that I do and how do I treat people, you know, like, and what does integrity mean to me? Like, I think that being so, you don't even just have to be clear on your business. You have to be clear on who you are. Mm-hmm. And then that will outline what your business is. And then that will outline how you conduct business and so on and so forth. Like it's literally a snowball that is all encompassing of yourself, your family, your business, your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think there's like you at work and you at home. And it's interesting because I dated a guy that he was like nice enough, but he had this idea that everybody that he managed at work, he had to rule with an iron fist. And I was like,
ew.
I don't think you get the best out of people by like being a hard ass. I just don't. I don't think that that's like, and I think there's a time if somebody's not doing what they need to do that you have to be firmer. I think that you can stand up to people, have boundaries, all the things. But I just thought, no, I don't, you're not going to be getting the best of these people. You're not building a trust with them. You're not building a camaraderie with them. They don't want to do anything extra for you. If I like who I'm working for, I will go out of my way to do the extras. I will go out of my way to try my hardest to find the perfect thing, the perfect piece of furniture. If somebody's really rotten towards me, I'm like, here's a couch. Here's a, you know, like I find a couch that will look nice. Do I spend the extra 3 hours finding one that's $1,000 less? Probably not, because I know that my time that I've allotted for with this customer, already eaten up by their other mean, unnecessary stuff going on, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I fully think that like who you are at work is exactly who you are in life as well. Like, I think that if you can't be kind and respectful to all human beings at work, then you can't be kind and respectful to all human beings in the schoolyard, at home, your children.
Yeah.
The people you encounter. Exactly. I think that if you're a rotten person, you're a rotten person. And it just shows more, I think, in business, because you can't cover it as well.
Well, that, or maybe you have some power there, right? Like you're in a position of power, so you get to execute your kind of inner person that wants to be powerful and wants to boss people around and wants to tell people what to do in a negative way and things like that. So
on campus in one aspect of your life.
Pardon?
They get to be the big man on campus and for one aspect of their life, and they really
exactly
take
it's their place.
I have a couple people like that I know.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, we all know them, right? And so one of my biggest things is like, once you find out something like this about somebody, my goal is to always just not have them in my world. Like, I want to get rid of them. I want the interaction to be as short and cordial as possible while maintaining my own boundaries, and get out, you know? And then I know, and then I don't have to keep doing business with that person. Like, mm-hmm. And I think that's sort of the gift of entrepreneurship, is that you do get to accept or decline clients, you know, mm-hmm. like you don't have to take every client that comes along, and you're in choice. Whereas if you work corporate or you work for a company, if that person's your boss and that's the job you have and you can't get another job, you are stuck there until you can find the right fit for you, you know?
For sure.
Yeah. But long story short, I definitely think that business is personal. I just don't think you can unweave the people out of the work they do.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. We'd love to hear from you guys. What are some examples of times that you've either been really emotional, or you have felt like it was a personal attack, or you felt really empowered because the people you were working with were wonderful? We would love to hear all your stories about your business is personal or not personal in your life.
Bye, guys.
We are so grateful you're here.
It would mean the world to us if you'll subscribe to our podcast and YouTube channel and leave us a review.
If you want to hear more from us, go to proofitspossible.com to join our mailing list and find our social links so you don't miss a thing.
Thanks, and chat next time.